RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for more than 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit thetford.com.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about our recent purchase of a very used pop-up camper. We'll talk about what led us back to the canvas after we sold our first pop-up camper over 6 years ago.
We will dish on all of the details, from finding the camper to negotiating the price to all of our plans for the remodel. By the end of this episode, you might just be searching the classified ads for your own lady of a certain age.
You might think we left our pop-up camping days in the past, but we know that absolutely nothing replaces the magic of sleeping in those tent ends on a chilly fall night. You are listening to episode number 166, the $1,000 used pop-up camper.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, the $1,000 used pop-up camper, it's time for our RV News Minute, which is all about Lazy Days. And we kind of love Lazy Days.
Yeah, we really enjoyed our visit there last winter. And we'll be stopping by again this coming winter, I think. So we'll be talking about Lazy
you
Days
think?
A little
you
more.
Mean
I
you
think
know.
So.
We'll be,
it's on the calendar.
We'll be camping at Lazy Days.
It's definitely on the calendar. But Lazy Days is in the news recently because there was an acquisition.
Lots of mergers and acquisitions. It's not just from the manufacturer side. It also seems to be going on the dealership side and the campground side and all that stuff too. So Lazy Days was launched in 1976 in Tampa, Florida, and it's grown immensely since then. Now it's a 700-employee operation. So they have their main location there in Tampa, but they also have locations in Tucson, Arizona, Loveland, Denver, and Longmont, Colorado. And they have been all acquired.
Yeah. So in October, so about a week ago, if you're listening to this, when it was released, the announcement was made that this special purpose acquisition company, and I'm not the person to talk to tell you exactly what that means, but a special purpose.
You went to the Wharton School of Business.
No, I was next door at the education school.
Oh, that's what I forgot.
So the Adena Acquisition Corp, they took over the dealer. And they'll be operating on the NASDAQ stock exchange under the new ticker Lazy.
Well, so the point is they want to take the company public. Mm-hmm. And I guess that Lazy Days sold itself to this corporation because they want to go public. They want to have access to the money needed to grow, to maybe acquire other dealerships. I mean, they're being a little tight-lipped about how they're going to grow. But look, it's a world where camping world continues to get bigger and bigger. So I think that this is, you know, just my opinion here, that this is one way that Lazy Days probably feels like it can compete. So it has access to cash
right.
to grow.
Yeah, exactly. So RV Business did a quick little interview with the CEO, whose name is William Murnane. And, you know, he really, of course, wanted to emphasize this is business as usual. This is not going to be indicating a major change in the sort of the ethos of the company, right? So he says, and this is a quote from Murnane, "The main message is that Lazy Days is not going to change a thing about how we operate or how we treat our customers, about how we treat our employees, about how we treat our suppliers. It's business as usual for Lazy Days. The transaction was motivated by a drive to help the current shareholders get some liquidity, but also to give the company the resources it needs to grow and to grow more aggressively than it has in the last few years." So that was the drive behind it. But I really found the most interesting thing about this short interview to be at the end of it, what he was saying was their target market and why they were looking to expand and grow.
I also found that to be the most interesting part of the article.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
We're so in sync sometimes. I don't know.
Sometimes.
And sometimes so not in sync, right? So anyway, you know, he mentions later on, and this is another quote, "I'm sure you heard the forecasters telling us that 10,000 people a day are turning 65 for the next decade, the very core demographic for the RV industry. So we view that as helping to dampen any cycle that may be on the horizon somewhere. In other words, he doesn't think that this uptick in the RV industry is going to be cycling down anytime soon.
Not in the same way it has in the past.
Exactly.
So he admits, like, oh, we understand the RV industry is cyclical, and mm-hmm. I think everybody understands that. He's just saying that there are some strong tailwinds behind it that might not make it as cyclical as it has been in the past, and the boomers being the main thing for their business.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because Lazy Days is a big motorhome. They sell a lot of motorhomes.
Yeah, and the question from the interviewer was, you know, they said, hey, we're hearing so much about the coveted millennial, and you're here talking about seriously going after that boomer still. And Marnie said, quote, yes, especially for Lazy Days, we have a big motorhome business, and that's the kind of core demographic for our business as well as the RV business. I would say that's the more dominant factor in terms of numbers. Of course, the most significant element in terms of the growth rate is the younger generation, but with regard to outright sales, the baby boomers are the most dominant. So it's just always interesting to us to see this back and forth about, right, the growth of the RV industry and the boomers versus the millennials, you know, and that sort of constant showdown, who is driving the growth. Well, guess what? The answer is both. Right.
And the Gen Xers, which are also mentioned in the article. So families coming into mm-hmm. the RV industry, 20-somethings who are buying RVs way earlier than anyone would have ever thought they are. But then for Lazy Days, with that core motorhome product that they are so good at selling, the boomers still really, really count for them.
All right. So I am going to link to this article. So if you want to read the whole text of it, if you're interested in it, I'm going to link to it over on our website. There's always a blog post with links to anything that we mention in the episodes over at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can go over there and check it out.
Are you excited to talk about our $1,000 pop-up camper?
I am. We've been so busy on our production side in terms of other shows that we had lined up that we haven't been able to squeeze this in. But we're doing it this week. We're squeezing it in, and I'm really excited.
I'm glad we waited a little bit because you have actually taken this thing out camping.
Yep,
so
we've
gotten some use out of it already, and we're really just excited to talk about Penny, the $1,000 pop-up camper. And my, oh my, is she cute.
All right. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to dive into our featured topic. This show is all about our $1,000 used pop-up camper that we recently purchased. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Go big with Jayco's Whitehawk, one of the leading ultralight travel trailers. The 2018 Whitehawk features impeccable attention to detail, industry-leading construction, convenient design, and Jayco's two-year limited warranty that makes getting down to the fun fast and easy. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. And we ditched our pop-up camper for that Whitehawk years and years ago, but we're circling back, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it was, for me anyway, a strong sense of nostalgia, but also a lot of practical reasons. So let's talk about why we decided to go out and buy a used pop-up camper.
Yeah. So let's just tell folks a little bit about how we're going to structure this episode. So we'll start out by talking about why we bought a pop-up camper. We did not get rid of our toy hauler, our Octane.
We had people ask.
We did have people ask. So I want to
That would have been one heck of a downgrade.
And our kids would not have been
the
happy.
The boys would have freaked.
Can you imagine?
They would have hated Penny the pop-up camper.
Yes.
And now they adore her.
Yeah. So we did not get rid of our Octane. So the why of why we added a second RV to this. We're also going to talk about how we found the used pop-up camper that we did, because we think that's really important to give that sort of perspective.
Well, some practical advice about mm-hmm. maybe searching for your own used pop-up
yeah.
camper if you're a first-time owner or if you're somebody like us who just wanted a second RV.
It worked well for us the way we did it, so we'll talk about that. Then we'll go into the next segment, and that will really be about Penny, the pop-up.
Penny in particular.
Right, right. So we now have her. She's in our driveway. What are we doing with her? What are our plans? So that's kind of what we'll do, right?
Sounds like a good show to me. So
okay.
Let's dive in. So look, we did buy a large toy hauler almost a year ago now. I mean, we got it last January, so approaching the one-year anniversary. And it was a bigger model for us. Mm-hmm. It was a 34-foot toy hauler. It was wider. It's large, and it's too large for our driveway. So we're not storing it at our home. And partly because of that, and partly for some other reasons, it's been a little bit harder for us to do quick weekend trips. And Stephanie and I have earned our weekend warrior stripes. I mean, we have done so many quick weekend RV trips over the last 8 years. We wanted to still be able to do a quick, easy two-night weekend RV trip, but maybe not have to go out and get the toy hauler for that kind of trip.
Right. So this led you, I think even before we got the toy hauler probably, you were starting to push for this concept, right? And longtime listeners know it. They've heard you pop up with this idea over and over again, right? That you wanted that second rig. And we always knew that that second rig, if we got it, would be sort of a smaller unit that would really be for the purpose of quick weekend getaways, and also more like rustic state parks and stuff, right? Not like places that we always knew our larger rig. Even our White Hawk, we were really careful about some of the state parks that we researched.
Some of our favorite state and county parks that we like to go to were tight for the White Hawk, and then of course we're even tighter for the JCO Octane. So I love the fact that we have this if we want to like bust down to Delaware and do a state park there and get a site and not have to worry about how big the rig is. Penny is really small.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll get Penny, there. Don't go into right. Penny. This right. segment is about.
But anyway, no, that is, that is a very key point. We can now camp anywhere we want in an RV.
Right.
This pop-up camper can go anywhere we want it to go.
And we really wanted to do that, especially with, you know, always getting such great recommendations from the RVFTA community and everything. Like, we love to check places out that are highly recommended. And we want to be able to go anywhere. That's always been our thing. And now, you know, we figured a second rig would really help us to do that. However, you know, on the flip side, people say, well, why don't you just get something in the first place that could have done that? Well, because we also spend an unusual amount of time in our RV. We go on very long trips. Like, for instance, last summer, we were on a trip that was 5 stops, right? Through Ohio and Pennsylvania and Virginia.
We have spent over 80 days in the RV this year.
Yeah.
So we do want that primary RV to feel like a second home. And our toy hauler really does feel like a second home. We're just super duper comfortable in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it works for us.
Right.
It really does.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, oh, if you just had that smaller unit in the first place, it would serve for everything. So now, you know, Jeremy was pushing for that. But let me tell you something. His vision of that second unit in the driveway was not the $1,000 used pop-up camper. That was me.
It wasn't. And I was thinking, we'll find something used. We'll find something affordable. But I was more than willing to go to like 5K,
yeah.
10K. And you just kept emphasizing that this had to be a cash purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Like many people, we have a loan on our primary RV on the Octane. And look, you were wise in that regard. I mean, it was to even ponder a second loan would not have been smart for our family.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just not something within reason.
Well, there's no purpose. At that point, you're getting ridiculous.
This is an unnecessary purchase,
yeah,
in a sense.
Exactly.
This is about fun.
You might as whip out the credit card and buy an RV with a credit card if you're going to make financial decisions like that.
Yeah, so
you know?
You were strict right away about like, this is a cash purchase and it needs to be, you know, I think a couple thousand at most. I mean, I think that you probably would have been willing to go up to 2K.
We'll talk about that a little later.
But we didn't need to.
Not willing to go up to 2K. But
somewhere along the journey, though, I have to say this. My initial idea was to have a second RV and to rent it to justify the cost of this RV. But you were pushing for the cash purchase for something that we could pay for cash out of hand. And somewhere along the journey, really, this became your mission. And it really shifted away from my unrealistic vision of a second RV to your very realistic vision of a second RV. And somewhere along the way, the vision also became a girl camper for you. And I was excited about that. And I thought that worked in a lot of ways and would be great for you, great for us, great for everybody.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities come up for me to be involved in girl camping events, you know, through Janine Pettit. And then also, there's so many other women that I've met through the RVFTA community. It's been really great that a lot of them have joined the girl camper movement, like Laura and Heather, you know, people that have been on this show and that we've camped with at our rallies we've met. And, you know, and they're now going and camping at some of these girl camper events. Now, There's no way I'm hauling a family RV to one of those. It makes no sense.
Well, not the 34-foot octane. Yeah. I don't want to take that camping without you.
And even I kind of felt like, you know, even a smaller unit that like a smaller travel trailer that would be good for our family. Like, you know, if we had bought a smaller one, maybe I don't know that I would have wanted to do that anyway. It's like I would just drive and stay in a cabin for crying all night. There's no reason to go through that for me to have a bed to sleep in. Right. So but however, on the flip side of that, we've owned a pop-up. For any of you that don't know our entire story, if you're just tuning in or you're a recent listener, we started out with a pop-up camper when we had 11-month-year-old twins, and we had that pop-up camper for 2 years. So I'm very familiar with a pop-up camper.
And when we first purchased it, you were able to open it and close it?
Yeah. And I towed it.
No help at all.
Right. It was not a big deal. And I kind of felt like...
Well, you used to tow the pop-up camper a lot.
Yeah, I did. And I was like, okay, I would do that as a girl camper, and I'd be happy to. Because for me, girl camping really would be about, you know, some women like to glamp it up, girl camping. For me, it would be about taking a break from it all and like really getting almost more rustic than we are.
Utilitarian.
Yeah.
A comfortable bed, a comfortable place to sleep. You don't need to buy the hot new $20,000 to $30,000 girl camper, and nor do you want to go out and restore a vintage 1950s camper either. I mean, this one hits the sweet spot in a lot of ways. It's not that old.
Yeah. So you were saying, okay, a family weekend camper, but then also a girl camper. So then we also decided that we wanted to put our money where our mouth was, right? So one of the things that we really preach on all of our pop-up content is that pop-ups are a fantastic way to enter into the RV lifestyle. They're great. The only problem with them is that people get financially burned.
People like us.
We did it, and we are a statistic. It's not like we did something so silly. A lot of people do what we did.
Well, we've said it before in the podcast. Maybe it was years ago. The salesman told us we would end up underwater.
Yeah.
He said, look, if you trade this in 2 years, you're going to be underwater because mm-hmm. you're just going to be paying the interest. And I mean, at that point, it went in one ear and not the other. And I thought, well, we're going to own this pop-up camper
for a decade
at least. Of course, after 2 years, couldn't get rid of it fast enough. So the pop-up camper we bought for around $12,000, 2 years later, we had to sell for like $9,000. Mm-hmm. It was painful,
right.
People.
And so we learned from that mistake. We did it the wrong way. However, we also had friends that did it the right way. After we bought our pop-up camper, they were inspired to buy their pop-up camper, but they did it in a really smart way.
They bought a Jayco pop-up for about $850. He had it for about a year, 2 years, mm-hmm. and then sold it for about $1,200. He actually made a profit on his used pop-up camper.
And we camped with them so much over those 2 years. And what we learned was like, oh, we did it the wrong way. They did it the right way. And we've been preaching that for, I think, a couple of years, but in a way, we never actually did it ourselves.
And here's the key point, people, and I'm gonna say this again for you. A new pop-up camper depreciates rapidly. An old pop-up camper has a very stable price. There's a real market for old, used pop-up mm-hmm. campers. So if you buy one for a couple grand, you're probably going to be able to sell it for that same couple of grand. Important lesson to learn for first-time buyers out there.
You're already trying to make a profit off a penny, but we won't even get there. If you had the wherewithal to do it at the time, you could flip pop-ups.
I used to flip kayaks. Yeah. You know, I'm not necessarily proud of that part of my life, but I used to troll Craigslist for kayaks because I knew the prices and I knew what brands people liked at the Jersey Shore. I would buy them cheap and sell them, and I sometimes would make $100 to $200 per kayak.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could flip pop-up campers, but I actually have other things going on in my life, including 2 jobs and 3 children and all that stuff.
All right. So we want to put our money where our mouth is. And the last why, right? The very last reason why we have a used pop-up camper all of a sudden is because the bottom line is that pop-up camping is different than anything else out there. It's different than travel trailer or toy hauler or motorhome camping.
The hybrid people come close because we know you're listening, but it's still different.
It's still different, right? So even though we never have regretted moving into the travel trailer world, I think we, like many other former pop-up owners, hold a certain amount of sentimentality. towards that.
It's a huge amount. And I use the word nostalgia. I mean, I look back longingly at those early years in the pop-up camper with the boys. I mean, just magical memories were made. And I'll be honest with you, I want to recapture some of that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's so, yeah, there's something magical about it. And the pop-up camper is the way to go. All right. So those were the reasons why, right? Those are all the reasons why we decided to buy a second RV and that we decided to make that RV a very small pop-up.
And you are talking about maybe renting it again. We'll think about that. And if we do that, we'll do a podcast on that.
Yeah. Stay tuned. I've got a plan brewing.
Stephanie has a very cool plan that we're considering.
But we'll see.
Now, you set some parameters for the purchase that you
I
want to talk
strict.
About. You were very strict and it annoyed me initially.
Because
I was like, well, we can get a cool used hybrid for $6,000 or $7,000. And you just kept bringing me back down to earth. Like, we don't have the cash for that, but we have the cash for a couple thousand, you know? So you were strict. What other parameters did you set?
Well, like I said, I really wanted a comfortable budget. Now, you're saying it was flexible, but in my mind, it actually wasn't. I linked it very clearly to like a job. Like it, to me, and I think this can be helpful for people out there that are thinking like, what should I spend on an RV? If it is a extra purchase, right? Think about all the other extra purchases you make in life. Like say you're getting a new couch or, you know, like these things that you don't actually need. The old one's just ugly, right? Or like, you know, you just kind of want to upgrade. Like I think about a couch is that $1,000 price point, right? Like
if it's something extra, buy it with extra money.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us do that, right? We think about our tax returns maybe, and we're like, we'll do that with the tax return. Well, to me, $1,000 is a really comfortable extras price point because I think that most people with extra income, obviously not people that are so tight that you don't have any wiggle room in your budget, but people that are considering an RV purchase, think about if you saved $25 a week on your groceries, that's $100 a month. In 10 months, you've got your used pop-up camper for $1,000.
A lot of us out there could just drop Starbucks.
That's what I'm going to say. Like coffee per day, right? And you have that little bucket and you put it in.
We're not suggesting you stop drinking coffee, just stop maybe going to Starbucks.
Like I had a freelance project that was $1,000, right? And to me, it was like, I'm going to do this job. And I'm going to buy a pop-up camper with that money. So in my head, whether you were willing to admit it or not, I had that money. I'm like...
You stuck to your guns.
I'm going to spend $1,000. So that's what I did.
And you had a very specific thing in mind in terms of the quality. You wanted something you could use right away. You didn't want a restoration project that was going to take you 6 months or a year before you could go out girl camping.
Yep.
You wanted one you could use immediately, but at the same time, you were willing to do some upgrades.
Yeah.
But while using it.
We know some people through RVFTA, and I'm really excited. We're going to try to get them on the show in the near future. But we know many people that have been working on these or that have worked on these
You're
RV.
You're thinking about Backroad Betty.
I am. And I'm also thinking about Jess. Love is in the Airstream, right? And Jess and Dan who redid their whole Airstream. And
for their honeymoon.
Yeah. I mean, just over the course of months and months and months. And I just admire that so much, but I don't have it in me. I know myself. I would be so aggravated.
It's not the stage in life for us in a whole variety of ways for that intense of a project. So this really hit the sweet spot. And we'll talk about the specific. I keep wanting to dive into the specifics of Penny, but I'll restrain.
So I wanted something that I could mess around with a little bit and definitely have fun with and improve and remodel. But it had to be safe for use, you know, and had to be able to be used. So that was in my own mind.
And we did do a couple things to make sure it was safe.
Right. And we'll talk about those too. So,
now, also, you did not want to do Craigslist. And
nope.
I did get on board with you very quickly, even though I used to be a Craigslist maven. So why did you decide to not go with Craigslist and where did you look?
Well, you know, there was no emergency, right? So some people who need an RV, right? Or like you really have a plan to get an RV, you know, you need to go out there and use all of the resources available to you. And that might be RV Trader and Craigslist and, you know, everything else that's out there. But that wasn't our case. I did not need a used pop-up camper, right? This could come when the universe decided to send it to me, and I was fine with that. So I really have a lot of trouble with Craigslist because of the fact that there are so many scams. And
in the RV
section. It's even more so in the RV section.
I mean, when I look through the RV section about I don't want to exaggerate, about 25% of them look like scams. You look at a hybrid and it's like, that's, they're selling that for like $4,322 when I know that it's worth $9,000 or $10,000. Yeah. There's just so many scammy looking ones, which could either be totally fake or could be somebody, a stolen one.
Right. And even though we know enough that we could probably work our way through that, and we're smart enough that as soon as something stunk, we would walk away. I don't want to put myself in that position.
Feels a little sleazy to you.
I didn't want to do it.
And you made me stop doing Craigslist years ago when I was, you know, flipping kayaks. And, you know, I was having strangers come over the house and we had kids. And you were like, I'm not okay with this.
Yeah.
And I didn't argue. I was like, you know what? I'm not okay with it either. And then I've started meeting people in parking lots.
Yeah, but that has this whole other layer.
Well, that's also was like, this is not really something I want to do right now.
Yeah, you're meeting somebody in a parking lot with big amounts of cash. Oh, that's great. They know you're coming.
$100, $400. But with the pop-up, it would be more.
Yeah,
it would be more cash. You're right. So why did you decide to go with Facebook?
So Facebook Marketplace, I've had some success in the past with just some smaller used items that we've purchased there. And I actually really like it because there's this ability to kind of like
look spy. At somebody's profile a little bit.
Yeah. So because it's naturally like people that are around you, and you can do like the parameters of that, and then you can look at their profile. And the bottom line is, even if somebody has like their profile on lockdown privacy mode, you still see when they joined Facebook. And then you can scroll down and see the changes in their profile pictures and everything. And you see where they live. And there's just a level of security to that that I really like. So for instance, that was one of the first things I would always do when looking at one of the used pop-ups. I'd click on the profile picture.
Now, is it fair to say that there are as many on Facebook as there are on Craigslist?
No.
And in fact, no, there's not.
No, okay. I think that Facebook Marketplace is smaller. I think that a lot of people don't even really know it's there. Like, you know, people
didn't know it was even there.
Yeah, I don't think that people are using it as much. But the people that do, I think, really like it because of the way that it does sort of like sift out the rubbish, you know, in a way. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to use Facebook Marketplace and I'm just going to look through every once in a while. I would say maybe every 4 days or so I would look through.
Stephanie already said this, but I want to reiterate this point. We were okay with waiting.
Yeah.
If you're someone who's like, I want one for like next camping season, then go ahead and look at Craigslist, look mm-hmm. everywhere you can. But we were in a position where we could be a little pickier.
Yeah. So I looked for about 2 months. I started looking back in late August, maybe. I started kind of trolling a little bit. And I was doing that because of the advice from Larissa Richardson of the Pop-Up Princess, who's been on our show a couple times and she's fantastic. But she told me, and I never knew this, she told me that, the fall is the best time to look for used pop-ups where people store them because for winter.
Makes all the sense in the world. Somebody right. uses it for the season and they're like, I'm done with this. I'm going to get a new one in the spring or I just, you know, I'm done with it for forever. And they put it up for sale in the fall.
Right. So I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. But I never would have thought of that. So I was specifically thinking this is a good time of year to look for one. And that's why
was.
I started. And it was, right?
Winter might even be better.
I specifically made 3 lowball offers.
You ticked some people off with your lowball offers.
Whatever.
The one guy wanted over $3,000 for a pop-up camper that was like 30 years old.
So old.
And he had fixed a few things up and painted the cabinets, but we were both like, this is 27 years old or whatever, and we're not going to spend over $3,000.
There's a difference. See, people like that sometimes don't understand that even though it's that valuable to him, it doesn't matter that he painted the cabinets. That doesn't actually make his 30-year-old used pop-up camper any more valuable.
The axles might be awful. Yeah. You know, some of the safety issues might not really be okay.
So, you know, I said very nicely to him, I was like, look, I know that you're asking a lot more, but hey, here's my budget. And if you don't sell it, let me know, you know? And that was kind of the approach that I took actually for everyone. I told them, I have $1,000 to buy a used pop-up. If you're interested, let me know. Like, it was kind of like, I'm not messing around. I'm telling you my price and I'm walking away.
And because you were tying that $1,000 to that freelance assignment, I mean, yeah, we
that
had more than $1,000, but that was
no,
all you were going to spend.
I set a budget. I don't care. You know, to me, the price I'm going to pay is the price I'm going to pay and I don't mind walking away.
So you found one for about $1,500.
Yeah, I think he listed it for $1,475 or something. It was under $1,500, but just a little bit under $1,500.
And you gave him your line. You said, I got $1,000 for you. And how did he respond, this art professor from North Jersey?
He said, well, if you can come up and see it before, you know, anybody else, or, you know, he said something like that. And I was like, well, when, you know, the earliest that I can get there is Friday. And this was like maybe on a Monday or a Tuesday. But he responded fast enough. I thought, this guy wants to sell this pop-up.
And for good reason, because he had already purchased his new RV.
Which we didn't know.
And he bought one of those Quiksilver soft top pop-ups. Yeah. He needed something bigger because he camps with his, I think, two kids.
Yep, two teenagers.
And he was using it like crazy, this pop-up camper. But he had already gone and bought the new one. So he didn't have room for both of them in his driveway.
Yeah.
So his new one was sitting out on the street, and the one he was selling was in the driveway because he was selling it. He wanted it to be in his driveway. So he just really wanted to get his new one into the driveway. So he was willing to move quickly on this.
I smelled motivation. In my messages back and forth to him, I really felt like this guy wants to get rid of this pop-up.
And it was what you wanted in terms of the size and all of that, which we'll get into in a second.
Right. So, I said to him, please let me know, because we couldn't get up there till Friday. I said, please let me know if you sell it before then. Well, I got multiple follow-up messages from him, like throughout the week, like, are you coming? Are you coming? And I'm like, I am the only bird in this guy's hand. And I felt good about that. I was like, okay, like, I don't think he's getting a lot of action on this pop-up.
A lot of bites. Well, it was mid-October.
I know. Such a smart time to lowball somebody on an offer.
How many people are shopping right now? It's true. Thank you, Larissa Richardson.
So again, by Facebook, I knew he was an assistant professor at a local university.
He was a very unlikely RVer.
Yeah.
He was an art professor.
Yeah.
But
so I was
and loved his state park camping and that pop-up. I mean, he got a lot of use out of that pop-up.
Yeah. So we went up and we ended up purchasing the pop-up. All right. So that I think that about covers it. Right. So that was what we were looking for in a pop up. And that was how we found the pop up that we ended up buying. All right. So that's the story of how Penny came home to our driveway. But we've got big plans for her, and we're going to talk about them in a minute. So
stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time to dive in and give you all the deets about Penny the Pop-Up. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
The industry expert and innovation leader at Thetford has been RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And they have also been helping RV owners keep their RVs in tip-top condition. This time of year, you see a lot of tips out there for RV maintenance. Remember that Thetford has a complete lineup of time-tested products, including drain valve lubricant, toilet seal, and holding tank cleaners. To find out more about each of these products and if your RV could benefit from them, check out their informational videos or see a complete lineup of products at Thetford.com.
All right, so let's introduce the world to Penny the Pop-Up.
She's so cute.
She's so cute. Now, she's a 1996, the year you graduated high school, which I think is kind of charming.
So weird.
I should not have said that. Are you gonna yell at me later for that?
I might.
You have the power to edit that out. If it gets left in the podcast, it's on you, not on me.
All right.
So it's a 1996 Jayco Eagle Series 8, and we wanted a Jayco, and you wanted a red one.
Yep.
You wanted one with red canvas and red decals, and that's what Penny is. And she is so cute because of that red canvas.
Right. So the problem with used pop-ups is dated styling that isn't cute in a vintage kind of way. So
you're thinking like teals and a lot of those colors.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the red really to me is classic and timeless. So I really felt like the red, I knew that there was these 90s Eagles out there that were red because we see them
from time to time.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so I thought that would be the perfect one that I would love.
And the red canvas looks great.
Yeah. It just pops. And I just have always loved the way they look at the campground. So I was actually only looking at the red pop-ups.
Which is why it took you several months before you even really started to make an offer.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was going to admit that, but
now also I have to say she's a tiny little girl.
Right.
It's a very small floor plan. I think that when she's opened up, she's like 14 feet or something?
Yeah, maybe.
Open.
This is one of the smallest types of floor plans that you can really get in a pop-up.
It's almost funny calling it a floor plan because there's really not a floor plan. But that being said, I love it. You walk in and to the left, there are two couches facing each other. And then the dinette table is in the middle and can be removed. And we just removed it because we're not dinette table people. So you have two couches facing each other, which was perfect for hanging out with Janine and chatting and relaxing inside the pop-up camper.
Yeah, that worked really nice. And then when the kids are with us, it's very, that just turns into a bed. And then you also have the two bed ends. So it's, there's no slide, right? A lot of the bigger pop-ups are going to have a slide to them. There's no like separate couch, all of that, like all the bells and whistles that we actually had on our first pop-up, this pop-up doesn't. And I said to you, I said, this is how I want it. You know, when you were like, you know, even more so like maybe looking for something with a little more to it. This has a sink, a small little refrigerator, and a camp stove.
And a furnace.
Yeah, that can be brought outside if you want or inside. So the two burner propane stove is not tied down. You can bring it outside.
Let's talk about the condition. So when we first showed up to look at it, I was mildly disappointed at the graphics because the graphics, like if I just took my hand and brushed them up against the stickers, they'd flake off. Mm-hmm. They're very dried out and crackly. They look decent in pictures, but if you really look up close,
they looked better in the pictures. Yeah.
They looked better in the pictures. And we got there like, oh, the graphics don't look as good. And then the outside of the pop-up camper, it's a little dirty. It's got some patches on it, but it's solid.
It's dingy looking.
It's a little dingy looking, but we'll clean it up. Solid. But then when we opened it up and we saw this in the photos before we came, the inside is in excellent, excellent condition for a 21-year-old pop-up camper. And that matters more than the outside.
Right. So that was hard for us because we saw the outside and I was kind of like, I kept saying to you, are you sure you want to do it? Because I was like almost like waiting for you to be like, no, the outside is too dingy looking or something. But the inside, the canvas, like it is.
That's the most important thing.
Right. That's what matters. So it was in remarkable condition. In fact, after the first weekend that I was camping and you guys came out to the campground and everybody was visiting.
We crashed that girl camper party.
Of course you did. Everybody was visiting, right? Maggie runs in, of course, jumps right up on the couch. And I thought, you know what? This pop-up camper, 21 years, has been maintained meticulously. And here we go.
I will destroy it in a year.
Yeah. I was like, bye-bye.
Let's talk about why the interior was in such great shape and why the exterior maybe was a little dingy. There were two owners before us. The first owner had it for about 18 years, and it was garage kept. And that's why that interior and the canvas are in such good shape, in my opinion. Then the recent owner had it for 2 years, the art history professor, and he kept it outside in the driveway. And I think just the graphics got,
right.
Flaky, yeah. And the whole thing got a little bit dirty.
Yeah, it didn't have that TLC that it had had. So, we ultimately were like, everything that is really important is in good shape, is in great shape, and everything else can be a project, and that's okay. Like, there was nothing that had to be a project that we didn't want to be a project. There was no water damage.
A couple of immediate things, right? So the
you asked him. Tell him what you asked. Remember, did you say? You say, oh, did you
Well, I asked if he'd ever lubed the axles, and he looked at me cross-eyed, like, lube the axles? Like, why would you do that? And so I realized, all right, well, that needs to be taken care of right away. And I also figured, like, I could do that myself, but I actually wanted them inspected and looked at by a professional. And then also the safety chains, it was weird. And this must not have been the way it was designed. The safety chains were attached to a screw. They weren't welded on the camper. So I don't know what the story was with that, but I was like, I have to have new. I mean, look,
this comes up, this safety chain is going to pop right out.
They were like unsafety chains. Yeah. And I was like, well, let me call our local place. We have a good local place. It's a trailer store for like people that are landscapers, mm-hmm. but I figured, hey, this is right up their alley and they do some things with RVs. So I figured, let me call and ask. I want a complete inspection of the axle. I want it repacked and I want new safety chains welded on. They came back with me of a price about $200. I was like, game on, done. Mm-hmm. I was thrilled with that. And they did a great job.
So, and that's, so that was the, we had to spend that. We spent about $25 to get the hitch that we needed. We needed a different hitch because it had dropped down.
It was $19.
Okay. including the clamp, because then we have to buy a clamp.
No. Okay. It was all $19.
So we had to get that. We had to get that. And then also I want to say that we didn't have to, we don't have to insure it because of the size that it is here in New Jersey. So because of the size, it's actually insured under our car insurance. So that was a nice added, we're not spending extra money. And I think it's important for people to think about, like, you know, if, you know, we have insurance, you know, we are insured out for that toy hauler because that is a valuable piece of our property. This pop-up, if something happens to it, we say
goodbye. We could just let it go.
We just say goodbye.
We could just let it go.
Right.
Now, a couple other things before you talk about your plans for the refresh. Now, Jayco's famous for its patented roof lifter system, which I think Lloyd Bontrager actually invented when he worked with StarCraft or when he founded Jayco. And this has that old-fashioned roof lifter system, and it's still works like a charm, man. The roof, we like it better than a modern electric roof lifter system. It's sturdy and it works perfectly and it's easy and it's not heavy to crank.
Well, that's what I said when we're looking at these used, you know, RVs. I said to you, I don't want anything with buttons. I was like, nothing, because those are the things that break. I want everything to be manual.
If we bought, and Stephanie thinks I'm crazy for saying this, if we ever bought a new pop-up camper, I would not want an electric roof lifter system. I'd want the manual crank.
And we have the Jayco electric.
Now, listen, I emailed somebody at Jayco and said, hey, can you get me the brochure, the original 1996 brochure? And I got an email back with a PDF of the original 1996 brochure, which is totally cool and charming. And in the description of this whole series of pop-ups, there's so much emphasis on the durability and the build quality. And I have to say, 21 years later, everything works. Everything works in this pop-up camper. It was remarkably well made.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the plans for our Penny, right? Okay. So what are the plans? She's not a gut job, right?
We weren't getting a gut job.
And so we have a list that we've made so far. Now, my list is a little different from Jeremy's list based on this first one that's on my list that he's still holding.
The furnace works. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Stephanie's not feeling incredibly comfortable using a 21-year-old furnace.
A propane furnace small space.
And I'm sympathetic to that. And we have some nice space heaters. So I think we both feel safer using a modern space heater as opposed to a 21-year-old furnace.
Yeah.
So we're debating whether we'll use the furnace or not, even though it does work.
Right. So for clarity's sake, Penny does have all of the hookups available to her. So she has a water hookup. She has a electric, you know, hookup. And obviously we also have
the
propane.
She ain't 50 amp, people. Yeah,
no, but she has a propane. My opinion is that I only need the electric. That's all I want with Penny. So I want to be able to plug her in, because water I don't need, because it's not a real water system. It's one of those, like, you know, the hose goes in and you can pump it through the sink. What do I need that for? You're using the bathhouse when you're using Penny, the pop-up. You're not, you know, like, so I don't need water. I can go to the bathhouse to brush my teeth. It's no big deal. So I don't want to mess around with the water, and I don't really want to mess around with the propane, because I'm not going to cook in the camper. I'm going to cook outside when I'm using
her. We have all the gear for cooking outside, yeah.
And I don't really want to mess around with the furnace, which is a little tricky to light. And I'm just like, why worry?
Plug and go on the space heater.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to plug her in.
I mean, the real question, and we're camping next weekend, and it will probably be chilly. It's November. The question is, how will the space heater do warming up the whole interior?
We used the space heater in the past in the pop-up, and they were really nice. We had to use them when we ran out of propane one very chilly night a long, long time ago. And then on top of that, we have these really toasty, warm, awesome Cabela's sleeping bags that we got last year that I love. So, and that's what we're using in the pop-up.
And we're not going to be winter camping in Penny.
No.
We have the toy hauler for winter camping.
Well, that's
camping.
Been my point with you all along, is that, like, Penny is for the nice weekend getaway. I'm not going camping with her if there's a downpour in the forecast. Like, just stay home. Like, you know, this isn't, like, rigorous. You know, this is just, it's a beautiful fall weekend. where are we going to escape
like
to?
Like you spent with Janine.
Yes,
camping.
Exactly.
Now, the second thing is the top thing on your list. What's the top thing you want to do?
Oh, okay. So the cushions on the dinette are obviously going to be reupholstered. And then also for the bed ends, the mattresses that are on the bed ends, which are in great condition, I actually don't need to replace them. What I'm going to do is make a sort of basically a slip cover for them. And Janine was telling me of the best way to do that with two sheets and basically a zipper. Like you're almost like making a pillowcase kind of a thing for your bed end. So I was thinking of reupholstering them, but when she said that that was a great option, I'm going to go with that. And she knows somebody that will do that for me because I lost my sewing machine probably about like 10 years ago, not maybe that long ago in a move or whatever. And I never got another one. And that's pretty much how I rolled. Like I used to sew. I don't sew anymore. So I don't even know. It's been so long.
And I think that'll go a long way towards transforming it right away. Those couple of things right
and
there.
And the curtains. So I'll
you don't
be,
like the curtains.
Oh my gosh. Aunt, yeah. Yeah. Aunt Bertha called. She wants her curtains back. So there's like definitely the florally like, yeah, pink and teal curtains all around the top. It's so bad. And they need to go.
It was bad in 1996 and it's
yeah,
bad now.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now you want to put new flooring in. Pretty simple, but.
Yeah. So we definitely, it's funny because I don't need to, but it's that like beige vinyl. The linoleum, the beige. It's not linoleum. I'm pretty sure it's vinyl. It's just beige, right? It's like sort of like dingy looking.
With a layer of dirt on it.
Yeah. And I actually have the floor in mind that I'd like to use in there. So I have to do some research to figure out if I can do that. But that is kind of high on my list. The only problem with the flooring is that I have to figure out what we're going to do with the porta potty closet.
Well, it's not a porta potty closet. We want to make it's yeah. There's when you walk in to the right, there's drawers. And initially we thought it was a porta potty closet because we're going to be using the Thetford porta potty in the pop-up camper. So we want to rip that out or build a little porta potty closet.
Yeah, well, it's really simple. I want a box where the top hinges up just like and the door opens up, right? So it looks like just a wood box, but then you open up the front, you hinge the door up, you do your business on the porta potty, and then you close everything up again.
You don't want the porta potty sitting in the middle of the floor like it was the other
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's what I want to turn that into. So the whole thing is it's like, ooh, do we have to do that first? If I'm going to replace the floor, like we really have to do the porta potty closet first before doing the floor, because you wouldn't want to like put down new flooring and then be like ripping out the cabinet and having like jaggedy edges or anything if I'm doing like peel and stick. So we really have to kind of make a decision and commit to the porta potty closet before the floor.
And I think we will. Now the outside, we want to scrub it. We just want to clean it. We want to make it look a little bit cleaner.
Or paint it. It might have to get painted.
I think that I want to clean it first and see what it looks like before.
Yeah. We gotta get some of those Thetford. They've got like supposedly like heavy duty and we're going to try it. Yeah.
And we're actually going to see if we can have the original graphics reproduced. If it's cheap, if it's really cheap, we might actually scrub the old ones off and put new ones on because we would like to do it.
Because all of the graphics are there. So really, you can pattern them. They're there. It's not like they're missing their graphics and we want to put decals on, you know. So really, we're doing research. We're in the research process of that. But I think that what I'm going to go for first, because I don't have to do any research about it, is my cushions and my bed ends. That's going to get done. And my curtains. And I kind of already have my design board for that and everything, and I know where I'm going.
And I'm here to help. I'm just looking forward to scrubbing and cleaning, and all that. I really do. It's going to be fun. We'll take pictures along the way and share on social media. So far we have used. You have camped in Penny for two nights, a girl camping weekend. We did crash for dinner, but you spent both nights alone without us.
Yeah.
So how'd it go?
It was awesome. Like. And, you know, it was just, it really, like, being in that pop-up camper was more wonderful than I thought it was going to be. It was amazing. Like, just, I'm going to get emotional talking about it. It was so nice sleeping at that tent end with that canvas open. And I just had quiet, like, and peaceful.
There's not a lot of quiet in your life right now. I mean, the boys are at a certain age. That's just, it's crazy at home.
But let me get practical, because I just went like totally sentimental there for a second when you asked me. But let me get practical. After I think 3 or 4 times, I can open her and close her up fast. Like 15 minutes. I really think it's more like 10 when I've gone out, like for the 4th time or the 5th time, because I've just been like trying to do it. And super easy, I can do it.
And you towed her there and you towed her home.
And I towed her. And it was so easy. And I hitched her up. Like I was like, and I had to be a little like, you've got to back up because you were getting in it.
I wanted to jump in and do the hitch because it's, you know, it's a very different type of hitch setup. And, you know, so I just wanted to be involved and swoop in and be your prince.
But you were
clear. I need to be able to do this because I'm going to be using it without you. I mean, it's just logical. Like, you have to be able to do it and get used to all the little quirks in the system.
Yeah. So you were good. You backed up. And then I was like, okay, now check it. You know, like, do a double check. Like, just because it's always good when you're learning something new. And every time I've opened and closed her, I've, like, done something out of order wrong. And I've been like, oh, you know, like, I went and I, like, pushed in the beds. And then I realized, oh, I didn't put up the door yet. You know, like, just little things that you have to do in the right order. And you're learning the order and getting your checklist down. So, but I opened, I closed, I hitched, I unhitched, I backed her into the driveway.
And more importantly, you relaxed and recharged. And I think that that's part of the point for this and part of the point for any woman who wants to do a little camping without the family is that we are all constantly in your face. And so look, I have no issues or hangups with you from time to time going with Janine or going with other friends and girl camping because I feel like you're going to come back and like us again.
Yeah. Well, so.
And love us again.
Right. So, that's kind of the whole thing behind her name, right? So I actually named Penny the first weekend that I had her. I had been thinking there was like a short list and I was kind of, you have to kind of see what feels right, I think. And that weekend she became Penny because, and there's kind of like, it was like layered reasoning. But one of the things that I realized while I was camping
was. Well, she's small.
Yeah, she's definitely, she was cheap, right? So there was like those things, like she's little, right? Like a penny. And she was inexpensive, like not worth a lot, like a penny. And then it was also, I was like, when I was camping, I realized like the phrase, a penny for your thoughts, like she's like literally a penny for my thoughts. Like, so I can think again, because I need to be able to think sometimes. And, you know, like that's, you have 3 young kids and you're just constantly serving, you know, it's like a drive through window practically.
And because of both our different work schedules, even though you're working just as hard as I am, you're with the kids more.
Yeah.
Right. Because the way our lives are right now. So,
yeah. And I feel like I need some of that. And we've talked about that. Like I need some of that escape time where I get like, I'm a little bit of more of an introvert than you. Like I like a lot of quiet and I don't get it a lot. So when
when
I get that kind of like nobody's talking to me, nobody asks questions, I get more creative. Like, and so obviously we are creatives. We're people that like to write and blah, blah, blah. So I need that. So I thought, oh my gosh, a penny for my thoughts. Like she's a penny for my thoughts.
Love the name.
Then also I'll say there was one other reason why Penny was on my shortlist because, that was a name that was on my shortlist for a girl that we're never having.
It did not happen.
Yeah. So there you go. Those are so Penny.
All great
like,
reasons. And I just want to add something to this too. Like we really like a boys' weekend at home too. I we order pizza, we make pancakes, we watch movies, we make a mess, we clean it up. You know, it's like, it's nice. I think it's good for every family to do things a little bit separately or in different configurations or with one kid at a time or mom goes and does this alone or dad goes and does that alone. Just, I think it makes us all love each other more as opposed to love each other less.
So I want to wrap up by saying one other story about this. So I named her that weekend and you guys came out to the camp campground for breakfast on Sunday morning, and you were making pancakes because that's what you're doing. And I was talking to the boys, like I said, I told them, her name's Penny. And they were like, we haven't named the toy hauler. And this has come up quite a few times, and none of us have ever found something that we all agreed on that stuck. Like, they've thrown out
names. There were some ferocious fights over it.
Yeah, and it just kind of got dropped, and nothing ever felt right to everybody. But so I was saying Penny, and I was explaining to them, like, she's little, and she was cheap. Like, she's just a penny, like, and, you know, a shiny penny. And Theo was like, well, and a couple of names came out for the toy hauler. They all of a sudden were like, oh, we really want to name the toy hauler again. And they're thinking, and Theo said, how about Buck?
Perfect. My
and
son.
Everybody loved it. Everybody was like, that's perfect.
Cost $100. Cost a lot more.
Right, like,
and Buck's a toy hauler. He's like a stud. He's like, Buck. You know, he's like
so,
the man.
We have two RVs and their names are Penny and Buck now. And that was a fun little family story.
Yeah.
I think that we'll remember for a long time.
I'm thrilled with both of them. I really am. All right. Well, we'll come back in a second. We're going to wrap up the show with our RV FTA news roundup. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We really hoped you enjoyed this exciting episode. I mean, I think we really enjoyed doing this episode because Penny was like exciting for us.
It's
I don't
fun.
Know. We're kind of both in love with Penny. Now it's time for just a really quick RV FTA news roundup. A few weeks ago, we had on Al Hesselbart, America's leading RV historian. And he was on talking about his book, The RV Capital of the World. It was a great show. We got lots of great feedback. And Al also offered to give away a signed copy of the book. And we asked people to email us and just simply say, I want to win Al's book, and that we would pick somebody randomly. And we have picked somebody randomly. So, Stephanie, who won the signed copy of Al Hesselbart's RV Capital of the World?
Congratulations, Caitlin. We will be emailing you for your address, and a signed copy of Al's book will be on its way. For everybody else, we will put another link to the book in these show notes in case you forgot to check it out and you want to go ahead, click on that. Another thing that I want to tell you is that I put in the recipes for the RV Tailgating 101 episode from last week. We got recipe cards, little PDF recipe cards that you can print out really easily for all three of those recipes. Those are over there on the blog too.
And also, I'm going to do something I haven't done, I think, over a year. If you enjoy the show, leave us an iTunes review. We don't ask very often, but it does matter. It does help us. So head on over to iTunes, drop a review, and we prefer the 5-star version.
Those kind
we'll
of
We'll accept reviews. 4.
We're not begging for
If it's
for
1,
that.
2, or 3 stars, we'd rather you not bother. I've never understood the idea of the negative podcast review.
Well, because we don't do negative
I'm
reviews
I'm just not
on
the
anything.
Type of person that's like, if I don't like a podcast, I just don't listen to it.
We've
I'm
never
not,
done that.
I'm not even motivated to listen to the podcast. Nonetheless, go and give it a negative review.
Clearly not everybody follows our ethos, but that's okay. It takes all types.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco. To view their complete lineup of RVs, head on over to jayco.com, and to Thetford. To check out all their products, head on over to thetford.com. We'll see you soon. Holiday Gear Guide is coming soon, and we have some awesome giveaways lined up for that one as well.
We'll see you at the very rustic campground.
See you at the state park campground that only holds an RV that's 15 feet or less. Because we will fit. Bye-bye.